A good day to you all. I thank you for wanting to hear my words, and they are the truth, I can tell you that. I am a God-fearing woman, Zerelda James Samuel. That is my name. Perhaps you know me better as the mother of Jesse Woodson James and Frank James. And you are listening to Speaking of History, and it is the truth, by thunder.
The eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, a podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. And my name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher at South Valley Junior High in Liberty, Missouri. And you're listening to podcast episode number 84, being recorded on May 23rd, 2007. Well, the city that I live in, Liberty, Missouri, recently had what they call a heritage festival. Formerly it was called Spring on the Square. And basically what they do is they bring in a lot of different people that have crafts. There's a lot of different types of celebration on the historic town square that we have. And this year they really tried to focus on the history of the area. So they have a bank robbery reenactment. This was the site of the first daylight bank robbery. Jesse James and his gang did that. So they reenact that. They also had different people reenacting different historical events. And one of the people that I came across this past weekend during the Heritage Festival was Diane Morin, and she does living history presentations, all different kinds of folklore type things. She does presentations on colonial women, mountain women. She does various things with Sacagawea, the Civil War, different types of historical storytelling. And the person that she was portraying this past weekend was actually the mother of Jesse James, Zerelda James. And she did an amazing job as you walked by right there on the street where she had a table set up. She would begin telling her story. And so I asked if I could record her presentation on Zerelda James. And that's what you're about to listen to here. And then I also have included her email address and her website as well. So if you want some more information about some of the CDs that she creates or actually booking her for a school presentation, she actually lives down in the Missouri Ozarks, but does all kinds of presentations for schools, and she actually works with the Missouri Arts Council and the Missouri Humanities Organization, so if you need help as far as funding and things, they can help you out as well. So without any further ado, this is Diane Morin, and she is portraying Zerelda James, the mother of Jesse James.
You do understand, don't you, sir, what happened here? Well, it seemed like the whole county was against my boys. And I will tell you, sir, they never did a thing. Why don't the folks go after those Reno boys over to Indiana? They've been doing plenty of train robbery. It's always blamed on my boys. I'll tell you, I raised them as good Christian boys. They attended church, still do to this day, I'll have you know. But war, it does strange things to folk, doesn't it? It seemed that when the war broke out, Frank, he was just itching to go. He said, "By thunder, Mama, I can't sit around and watch things happening." And he signed up with General Sterling Price. Then we heard tell of the battle at Wilson's Creek. Oh, my Lord. We all lost so many of our boys in that battle, but we did win. Yes, we did. And Frank, he came on home, proud he was to have won, and he got arrested for it. Since when, in this country of freedom, is it again the law to speak out if you've won a battle? It was all I could do to get him off. That judge, he just didn't want to listen to the truth, but he finally let him go. Well, then Frank told me, "Mama, seemed like I can't do what I need to do. Not with Price anymore. He's heading further away. I think I'm going to join up with Quantrill and his boys. Well, they're getting a mic done, Mama, and all for the cause. I had to agree. You see, my boy's own daddy, granddaddy it was. Well, he fought the Revolutionary War. He was a rebel too, a real patriot. You do understand, patriot and rebel, that's one and the same. And so it was. Then we heard of the Lawrence Massacre. Oh, Lord, I don't mean to say it was right. It was terrible what happened to those folks over there. But is it any worse than what Jim Lane did over here? I think not. But my boy, Frank, got blamed. And one day, well, the militia, they came here looking for him. Said they were wondering where Quantrill's camp was set up. Said I should know, but I didn't. As God is my witness, I didn't know. They took my husband, Dr. Samuel, and the captain, he told me, I'm going to shoot him if he don't tell us what we want to know. Then I'm going to feed him to the hogs. There was not a thing I could do. A few minutes later, after they left with my husband, Jess came in. He was only 15 years old. They'd beaten him, his whole back bloody. He told me then, Mama, I know I'm only 15, but I got the heart to fight, and I'm gonna do it. I couldn't stop him. And so, in another few months, when he was 16, he joined up with that fella, Anderson. Well, the war went on, and then we heard it ended. Jess tried to surrender. They wouldn't let him. They shot him. Well, he had the flag of truce. Didn't matter. There was nothing but lawlessness in these parts. So many things. But the war was over. First thing you know, folks start rampaging the countryside. Why, the bank here in town, right here in Liberty, got robbed, it did. And do you know folks here about blame my boys for it? I don't know why. Well, they had to hightail it out of here. Everyone was against them. There were other robberies. Plenty of train robberies. But I say again, those Reno boys did more than their share. And then the Pinkertons became involved. They said they were after all the bushwhackers from the war. And they aimed to catch my boys. They come in here one night. My boys weren't even to home. It was just my husband, my little slave boy Perry, and my boy Archie. He's my little one, you know. But they threw a bomb in through the window. We didn't know what it was. My husband, he kicked it into the fire. It exploded. Killed my boy Archie right out, right there. I held him in my arms as he was bleeding, the life going right out of him. And my arm, it was so mangled. The next day, the surgeon brought his bone saw, and I ain't had the use of it since. But that wasn't the end. They were after him. My boys moved away. They had to. Time was passing. 18 and 81, Jess and Frank, they were living in Kansas City. And then they moved on to St. Joe. And then one day, late March of 18 and 82, Jess come to visit me, but I hardly knew him. He had a big black beard. Said he had to color it so folks wouldn't know him. Went by the name of Thomas Howard. Even walked with a cane. He had two men with him, Charlie and Bob Ford. We sat down. We ate. It was so good to have my boy. But later, I told him I didn't trust that one Bob Ford. It wasn't much a matter of 10 days. Without benefit of a trial, no jury to convict him, shot by his friend in the back of the head. Frank surrendered. He could see there was no use running from it. But he didn't do any jail time. Thank the Lord for that. Well, time passed. One day, little Jess Jr. and I were walking in Kansas City. Up Main Street it was. And my little grandson, he stopped me and he said, "Grandma, looky there, coming toward us. Isn't that the man that murdered my daddy?" Oh, Lord! It was! Charlie Ford, it was! I was so weak, I had to sit down. When he met us, he acted like he didn't know me, turned his head away. But I found my strength, and I called out to him, "Charlie, don't you know me?" And as he turned, there were tears in his eyes. "Yes, ma'am," he said. "I know you're sure. You're Miss Samuel." "Yes, and you're the one, the murderer, that killed my boy. My brave boy, and I ought to kill you now." "Oh, please," he said, "please, I'm begging you. I didn't do it. Was my brother Bob." "But you were in on it. You knew from the start. Why, you even sat at my table and broke bread with me, acting to be his friend." "Ma'am, please, you gotta understand. Bob, he told me if I wouldn't go along with it, he'd kill me." So, they walked away. Time passed. A matter of months. I heard that he had died over in Richmond, he did. By his own hand. Shot himself. Looks like that misery and torment he was in finally took him away. And so, a matter of years later, his brother was murdered as well. A gambling house in Colorado, somewheres out there. And so it is. You've heard it before. An eye for an eye. But it don't bring me any peace. I'll never have my boy again. Sometimes I look out the window. In the spring of the year, I can hear the creek rushing along, and it sounds like my boys laughing, like they did when they were little. But when I look, there's nothing there, only the wind. Once, I had me a little boy, sandy-colored hair he had, and the prettiest face, like an angel. And eyes as blue as a summer day.
I'm here with Diane Moran, and she just did a representation of Zerelda James. She does different history reenactments, so I was going to ask her a couple questions. How did you get started doing Zerelda?
Well, Civil War is one of the programs I like to do. And when I was contacted about coming here and doing a program at Liberty, on the spur of the moment, I said, "Well, I can do Zerelda," but I'd never done her before. So, but it was all right. I knew the background and had to do a lot more studying to find out exactly what happened.
So today is the first day that you've done Zerelda?
It is.
Wow, you're doing an awesome job.
Thank you.
So, what other historical characters do you portray?
I do a generic Civil War mother whose sons go off. One for the North, one for the South, and the anguish that it caused. And I do Revolutionary War and a real battle that occurred in St. Louis in 1780. I do Colonial Days as a colonial woman that has come from England in the early days. I do the Holocaust and a woman who lost her entire family. The 1904 World's Fair, wagon train.
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing it 12 years. Started out at the St. Louis Zoo, of all places.
Wow.
Yeah, I was a storyteller there and a naturalist doing programs for kids. And the storytelling thing just kind of grew out of that. So I started with stories and animals. And now I do mostly historic things and engage classrooms with me. There's Funden, sir, from the Missouri Arts Council. Might have me visit your class one day.
Yeah, I'm going to check that out. This is awesome. So, so say when you do a new character, how do you start the research process? What do you look at primary documents? Do you read books?
All of it, yes. Primary documents. Of course, that's the best way to get at the truth. But then I take letters people have written about who are from the time itself and who witnessed a lot of things that went on that happened to other people, so it's secondary too. But all of those things and historical programs, the History Channel, and all of those references, I use all of them, but never a novel. I don't waste my time. I don't have time. There are so many factual books out there, and they're incredible.
Yeah.
The truth is awesome.
So, what's your favorite character?
Probably Sacagawea in the Lewis and Clark Expedition. But Civil War is right there. It's right up there with that.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, sir.
I hope you enjoyed that presentation, a very entertaining look at Zerelda James, the mother of Jesse James. And I'm going to include, again, the link on the show notes for the website that Diane Moran has. And I picked up a brochure that day, and it says in her brochure that she does living history programs. And some of the topics that she covers are music and story collaboratives, Native American legends, mountain women, Civil War, World War I, or Revolutionary War, the 1904 World's Fair, which was in St. Louis, Sacagawea, Colonial Women. She does a variety of great literature presentations as well, Crane, Faulkner, O. Henry, different people, especially from the Civil War era. She also does things with biofacts and numerous live animals as far as naturalist programs. So go ahead and check that out. Very entertaining. I'm going to try and see if I can possibly get her to come to our school, maybe next spring when we do some Civil War things, or possibly with some other topics. So go ahead and check that out. But again, that was a presentation at Liberty's Heritage Festival, and I did record some other things from the Heritage Festival as well. There was a bank reenactment, like I mentioned earlier. This was the site of the first daylight bank robbery in American history, and that was done by Jesse James and the people that were involved with the Jesse James gang. And there's a little audio presentation that goes with that. They reenact it three times a day, and I audio taped that reenactment and took a bunch of pictures, so I hope to have that on a future podcast as well. As always, if you'd like to comment on the podcast you just listened to, you can go to the blog at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com, and you can leave a comment directly on the blog. Or if you'd like to email me, you can email me at speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk again soon. Bye. The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.